Jen screaming out the name right now.
It's an accordion.
Well, I guess it would be nice.
She's right here with me. She is so hot and pretty. She's got her little, I'm not going to say hot because she's pretty today. She's got the little puffy sleeves on and
my Ivy Jane t-shirt.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. And it's got little flowered things on it that mm-hmm. is sewed on there. And it's just very pretty.
Oh, thank you.
Very pretty. Thank and your you. Hair's pretty today.
Thank you. That implies it wasn't pretty before. I'm just kidding.
See, you try to give a woman a compliment, and that's what you get. That's what you get.
I'm just kidding.
So this is a lesson. Okay, here we go. Right here. Romantic marriages. How to take a compliment.
Thank you. God bless you.
I know that there's a little... Okay, both men and women need to take a lesson from this. Uh-huh. There's a little voice inside of all women's heads mm-hmm. that will whisper the opposite of what you actually mean.
That's true. Yes, that is true.
For men, you need to be aware of this. Mm-hmm. You need to phrase your compliments carefully. Don't say, your hair looks pretty today. Just say, gee, your hair really looks pretty. Period.
There you go.
End of sentence. It always looks great. It especially looks great today.
See, and then it just takes that wind out of that negative
now,
little voice's sail.
Women, the voice in your head is going to say, what he really means is my butt looks big.
No, I don't think that.
But you got to ignore that voice and you got to accept that compliment and say, thank you. God bless you. That is the only that is the only proper response to a compliment is thank you.
Thank you.
You're so sweet. Or give a compliment back. Or say, thank you, Lord. God bless you. Do not say, what do you mean by that?
What you saying? What are you saying?
Or don't say, oh, this thing, I just go out at
I
Walmart.
I just threw this on.
This is like a Walmart shirt. Or, you know, you look really good in those jeans. But these, I got them for $12 at Target.
Like that matters.
So you're basically killing the compliment. Mm-hmm. You understand that. And mm-hmm. that's the voice in your head, and you just need to ignore
that. And then
voice.
He won't compliment you anymore.
Right. One of the things that drove me crazy was she would, you know, she'd get a compliment on a ring, and she would say, oh, yeah, I got it at Target for $12. Don't tell people that. You're just not because you want them to think you got it at a jewelry store and it costs $1,200, but simply because you're killing their compliment.
Oh, that's
such a pretty ring. Just say, oh, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Let them believe it's huge and real.
Well, you don't have to let them believe anything. You just have to accept the compliment.
Right.
The tendency is you don't want them to think that you're showing off and you got some expensive ring on when mm-hmm. you don't. But you're just going to kill their compliment. So just shut up and say thank you.
Yep.
So,
which is what I do.
So this is my advice on this great romantic marriage show is shut up and say thank you.
It's very romantic.
That's my advice to women. Mm-hmm. Men, give good compliments. Give thought out. Think about it before you say it. Okay?
Yes, sir. Thinking about the compliment, sir.
And, you know, and don't repeat the same compliment over and over again. Like you really, oh, man, your butt looks good in them jeans. No, say... Those jeans really fill out, you know, they really flatter your form. Or those jeans, you know, that really enhance how long your legs are. Or, you know, you kind of get creative a little bit, okay? You can do that. Especially the people listening to this show, because I've heard your calls and you can call in. So
you can get creative.
Now, that ain't what we call him here to talk to you about.
No, it's not.
Faith
but
has,
you, got a,
Faith,
you got a twofer.
Faith has requested this show.
I have.
Faith said, we're going to record today because I got things to say. So by golly, here's Faith. Ba-da-ba-da!
Oh, see now. See, I don't like that.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
I don't like that
no,
at all.
No, seriously, though. You were talking to me last night, and I said, this is good stuff for the show. And you actually were talking to your mom. Mm-hmm. That's what you're doing. You were telling mm-hmm. me about a conversation you had with your mom. And I was mm-hmm. like, yeah, you need to put that on the show. So what were you telling your mom?
Well, I was...
We're
going through some things with the school and some other things. And it's been a huge... faith builder. And I was explaining to my mom, of course she knows all the details, but and so I was telling her about these things, and I said, and it's like standing on it. Brad a long time ago said, you know, the Lord revealed to me that in this whole situation, he's gonna put the light on the step that we're on. He's gonna put one, it's one thing at a time, and he's gonna shed light on that. And he gave to me yesterday, I saw this staircase, and I was standing on the staircase, and the light was only on the step that I was standing on, and I can't see what's ahead, and I can faintly see where I've been behind. You know, I have memory of what's gone behind. But what I really want to do is just fall back down the stairs and, like, go run the other direction instead of stand there, because standing here is very tiring and sometimes not the most peaceful place to be. But he gave me the light to stand just on this step and to only know the information at this step. Mm-hmm. And that's where we've been. We've been giving one step at a time. And then when we stand on that step, then he reveals the next step, and we take that step up, and we stand there, and we stand in that step. And then he reveals that next step to us.
And this started with the school. And us,
I mean, this was over a year ago.
Us trying to, the lady who owned the school wanted to basically get out of it. And so she was going to put it up for sale, and so we were going to try to buy it so we could keep the school going. And we immediately planned out the entire next 10 years for the school.
Right.
and then things didn't work out the way they were supposed to. I mean, not just from the get-go. Every time – but then as soon as something wouldn't work out, there would be something else, mm-hmm. That would kind of say –
keep going.
Yeah. It wasn't a never
– there was never kill it, let it die.
Right. There was never just walk away and put your kid in some other situation.
Right.
So, and we did even try that. Well, what are we going to do if this doesn't happen? We're going to public school, we're going to homeschool. Blah, blah, blah. So we were trying to plan out all this. And through the course of the last 6 or 8 months, I guess it's been, of trying to buy the school and then the school staying there, but only being through the third grade. So now we still don't have a school. And then say, oh, well, maybe we'll just do a school for fourth and fifth grade, mm-hmm. and take the kids through the water, you know, at our private school last year. And so, but even that, it's been like, okay, we're going to have it here. We got a place. We got a bit.
And then the place will go away.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden things fall apart again. And it's just, but we had to have that place. It was so amazing because mm-hmm. without that place, we would have never got the teacher and the parents involved.
Right.
Now that we lost that place, we still have the other pieces involved. And now we're
waiting on a place.
And the next place he showed us.
That we'll hear this week about, yeah.
Yeah. The next place he showed us is better than the last place. Uh-huh. So.
But we've had to wait a month to get the answer on whether this place is going to be available to us. Right. And that leaves us 1 month before school starts.
Right.
So we've been sitting here for a month going, okay, waiting, waiting, waiting. In the meantime, wanting to do all these things, curriculum, and thinking about all these other things we need to do. But the Lord says, no, you're going to wait. You're going to stand here and you're going to wait.
You got to wait for this next answer before you can do anything. And, it's like,
and I don't function that way. I don't. You know, I'm going to tell you right now, I am a plan it out, let's see the future kind of person.
And not only
I want to know what's going to happen the entire week.
Plan B, yeah. Plan C, plan D. We ran out of letters, and so we just stopped saying
that.
We
stopped saying it because there was no, you know.
We're on plan D. We're on plan F. And now we're just, nope, we're on God's plan.
We're on God's plan, and we're just standing on my step. We're standing on that step. And we're
standing on faith step. I think that's a good name for the show.
Standing on faith step. So here we are waiting to find out.
And there's other things going on which
the exact same thing.
That revolve around – well, it started with revolving around the school, and now it's kind of spun off into another whole thing. So – and that's sort of the same situation.
Yeah. It's been go, no go, yes, go. But it was never – nothing ever stopped. It was just always –
right.
Go a different direction. Go over here. This is better. That direction is no.
So that's what the Lord has shown us in this situation is just take the next step.
To stand.
And he's only
where you
gives
are.
Us faith, and he only gives us knowledge, and he only gives us sight. I'm talking about our situation right mm-hmm. here for the next step. He only shows us the next thing we need to do. And then he says, okay, now just, you know, wait there, let me work out some other stuff and do what I told you to do and take care of, you know. And really, I have enjoyed once I have let go,
yeah.
And once I can stay let go,
yeah.
I've enjoyed this process. Mm-hmm. I've enjoyed, when I have been able to do this, I've just enjoyed taking care of the things he's given me to take care of because it's not overwhelming. If I got 50 things to do, which is what I want to do, mm-hmm. I want to plan the next 50 things to do, and then all of a sudden it's overwhelming.
Right.
If I just do the next thing he's got for me to do, it's not overwhelming. Fill out this one form. Oh, okay. I can do that.
Right. And yes, exactly.
You know,
and
call
and
this one person. Okay. Well, I can do that.
And yeah. Then understanding that it is his will. And as when we changed our language to this is what we're going to do next, and we changed it to I don't want this to happen unless it's the Lord's will.
Right.
And Brad started praying, Lord, don't let this happen. Don't let it happen if it's not your will.
Yeah,
I don't want it to happen if it's not your will.
Don't let me want this.
Right.
I mean, don't even let me want this if mm-hmm. it's not what you want. And so through that, we've had peace.
Yes.
I mean, not all the time because we haven't always followed them.
Right.
We find ourselves, trying to plan out.
We get suckered in.
Three or four steps ahead, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, yeah. I don't have peace anymore, but...
Through this, it's been fantastic because Jennifer Eaton, Sam's wife, told Brad about My Utmost for His Highest, which Oswald Chambers wrote in the 1800s. And Brad said, have you heard that? I'm like, oh, yeah. My mom and dad, we always had that. That was laying around. I mean, we didn't have one. And so he started reading them. They're online, and you can go daily and read the daily devotional. And through this, I started reading them. And daily... It's been funny because it's the first thing I think about when I get out of bed. And I think the Lord has really brought back that deep desire of relationship. And I mean, I've always had a desire for relationship, but that deep desire of a one-on-one communicating relationship with him, which, can kind of come and go. And, it's hard to sit down and spend time with the Lord. It's hard to do devotions. It's hard. But it's like the first thing I think of when I get out, oh, I got to see what's going to, what's the Lord going to show me? What's the Lord going to say today? What's he got? And, in this whole week, the studies have been, it's not about you. It's about me. It's about my people. It's about my, my righteousness, being filled in the, being put out in this earth. And it's about my glory. And it's just been amazing to see his, to see it through this, where it can be very self-involved, and through this process where you become very self-involved and think all you're thinking about is what's going to happen to you next. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. It's about his plan.
I love it when you talk like this. I could just sit here and listen to you. I told Jennifer you were talking about her. Yes.
So that was a blessing. Mm-hmm. That was a blessing.
Well, there you have it. There it is.
So stand on your step of faith and
stand on your
let
step.
The Lord shine the light right where you're at. It's not the easiest place to be, but it sure is rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
And it sure brings a closer walk with him. It sure does. And even Helen, she said, Mama, it's so weird not knowing about these things. And she said, so we're just kind of waiting and not knowing what's going to happen. I mean, it's exciting, but it's weird. And I said, yeah, you kind of feel like you're in limbo, don't you?
Yeah.
It's been neat to see her faith and speak, talking to her about how things have been.
Where she's
going to
go? Where am I going to go to school?
We don't know. but she's perfectly fine with that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, whatever. I know they got it under control. My mommy and dad, and she told Miss April. She said, "Wow, what do you think about school?" I don't know. My parents will figure it out. just complete faith that
right.
That it's going to be fine.
And even my grandmother was asking her some questions about what was going on, and she goes, "Well, mom and daddy really don't want me talking about it because we're not really sure what's going to happen."
So mature.
So I was like, "Wow." I can't talk to me all that way. She'll put that grandma look on me.
She'd look and then you'd fess up. You'd tell her in a minute.
So, all right. You want to take up? We got a couple of calls. You want to take those and close it out?
No.
Kind of short shut showdown so soon.
Oh. Okay.
Take one call?
Sure.
One call?
Okay.
Because we got a good call here. Because he only calls in when he's got really good stuff to say.
Oh, boy.
This is... Dan Goodwin from New Zealand. He's the famous DJ from New Zealand.
It's Dan here from New Zealand. I know I haven't sent you guys an MP3 in a little while, but here I am. I'm doing it. Still listening. Still trying to keep caught up on all the podcasts. Just want to let you know that right now in Auckland, it is about 9 degrees. And Burr. So, you know, you guys complaining about how hot it is, I reckon that's hilarious because here it is freezing. Last weekend I was at a youth camp, I was emceeing, and we were wandering around at kind of 1 a.m. trying to get kids to go to bed, as you have to do at youth camps.
Yes.
And it was -7 degrees Celsius, which is, I guess, in the mid-20s. Fahrenheit, I think. So, I know that's not as cold as it gets, you know, for you guys, but for us, that was pretty cold.
Yeah.
So, you know, enjoy summer while you've got it, and I look forward to hearing you complain about how cold it gets a bit later on. Really quickly, though, last time I sent you guys an MP3, I attached my own little version of the news that I do on the night show for my job, and you seemed to enjoy it, so I thought I would do it again and send you another one, Hope.
Cool. Well, thank you. Before we play that from him, I just wanted to say that we went out today, and it's not tolerable.
No,
it's this isn't this. No,
I went outside to water the plants at like 8 o'clock this morning, and I came and I put the sprinkler on.
95.
And I came back and I went, whatever you do, don't go outside.
In the shade, it's 100 degrees.
Yeah,
and when the wind blows, it's just hot wind.
Christy Funk said she's in New Mexico right
now?
Yes, They're complaining because it's 83. It was 83 at 10 o'clock. She's in, if you go in the shade, it's like 73.
Yeah, it's great.
And they're like, oh, it's too hot to golf. We can't golf. She's like, you bunch of whiny babies. You have no idea.
This is great.
This is awesome. I'm going to the zoo.
We can't go to the mailbox without sweating.
Yeah, exactly. And that's not an exaggeration.
No.
You can't even walk outside to feed your cat.
Nope.
And you start to sweat.
You can't walk outside, get in your car, which is in the garage, crank it, and turn the air on before you start sweating.
Exactly. Yep.
No, I'm not,
seriously.
But I love Texas. I'm not moving away.
It's just part of living here.
It's just part of living here.
You know, yesterday when I stood in the closet, is the least amount of clothes I could put on and still be appropriate? There's got to be something that's appropriate. See, that's the least amount of things.
This is why I love Texas. So, anyway, so that's why we're having a pool party. So be sure you get your songs in for the great Two Blind Squirrels pool party. If you have any ideas for some pool games or anything else you'd like to take place at the pool party, let us know. You know, bring snacks, bring lots of fruit, you know, lots of fresh cut fruit, and we'll have lemonade, limeade, stuff like that. So
it is Petey.
Yeah,
Petey. It's Petey the dog.
Yeah, we had a question. Who was the? What was the?
We
dog's
saw
name?
This giant sized version of Petey the dog on the Little Rascals in a truck today.
Yeah,
at when we were out and about, he was this giant version of Petey, and we couldn't remember the dog's name.
I said it was Petey. I was right.
You were right. Yeah.
All right, here we go with Dan's call.
All right,
do it.
We interrupt your regular broadcast to bring you this important news bulletin.
Smart people have had a cracker day today. Scientists in Britain decided conclusively that the chicken did in fact come before the egg. Kiwi robot engineers have developed working bionic legs, and US scientists have released a report saying that the 5-second rule, in which you can still eat food after it's been dropped on the floor if you pick it up within 5 seconds, is actually totally bogus and you're still getting bacteria transfer. What achievements! So, you know those armoured security vans you sometimes see driving around the place? Well, a guard locked himself inside one today in England, so he triggered the alarm and the cops were called to help him out. Only when they got there, they ended up getting locked inside with him, and more police had to go and help them out. It's moments like that you wish you were there to see it all unfold in person. Ah well. Most of us wouldn't really like to dive into shark-infested waters without a cage thing and some experts to look after us. But Andy isn't like most people. He loves sharks, so much so that he wrote them a song and then got into the water to sing it for them, guitar and all. He wrote the Great White Shark Song, yes, that's the actual title, to raise awareness of the Great White Shark extinction. Way to put the mental in environmentalist there, mate. I think that's the best joke I've ever told on the news interruption.
Like FM.
Thank you, Dan. That was great.
Yeah.
And that was Dan Goodwin from Life FM. You can actually hear him anywhere you want to in the world on Life FM. His radio show is like from 3 a.m. Central Time to 1:47 p.m. It's like weird. But you can definitely check out Life FM out of New Zealand, and where Dan is a DJ.
Well, and you know, Dan, everybody knows that if you drop something on the floor and you pick it up and blow it off, it's clean.
You have to blow on it.
You have to blow on it, and then it's clean.
But there is a sub-rule to the 5-second rule, and that is it can't be anything sticky.
No,
if it's a sucker or something, or ice cream doesn't count, suckers don't count.
No, peanut butter.
Anything that's previously been in your mouth that you drop on the floor,
Can't do that. Count. There's just certain rules. But like if it's a chip, eat it.
Yeah, M&M.
Cookie, eat it.
So, anything with a hard-coated surface on it, you're good.
Just blow it off and eat it. Yeah, it's good.
Just, that's all you got to do.
Yep.
Completely sanitized. Cleanse 100%.
It. No problem.
Antibacterial.
Yep.
That's what I carry with me.
Done.
Also, mother's spit on a Kleenex will get anything off.
Yes, it will.
So there
yes,
you
it
go.
Will.
All right. Those are scientific facts. The chicken did come before the egg because God created the chicken. They had this stupid argument this week on one of these shows about, oh, yeah, the chicken, the news came out, you know, one of the geek shows I watch. And they had, oh, well, this, you know, this environmental scientist said, I'm like, it's, how can you, no, I'm sorry, evolution scientist. I'm like, how can you have an evolution scientist when there's no such thing as evolution? To date, there is absolutely no proof of macro evolution. Zero proof. Zero. Zero scientific facts. Zilch. Nada.
Alrighty then. You're getting off track.
Read Darwin's Black Box, written by an evolutionary scientist. A biochemist scientist. I don't know. Whatever it was. Anyway, he wrote it and he said, it's bogus. It's bupkis.
Bupkis.
Now, microevolution happens all the time. That's when a normal thing that God created, which is called a wolf, becomes
evolves.
A poodle.
Right.
Okay, that's microevolution. That happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But macroevolution, where you have origin of the species.
Oh, wolf because of poodle. You know what? Those poor, the early wolves, they're rolling over in their graves thinking, what has become of us? They are using a blow dryer on us now.
Wolves, that's why they're howling so much. They are mourning.
Yeah, they're mourning for all the lost, for all the lost cousins.
For their cousin, the Chihuahua.
Yeah. Is it cold in here?
I think a Chihuahua is actually microevolution from a coyote. I think it's a little different. All right, everybody, vials.
Vials,
con Dios.